Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 11th day of June, 2020. So delighted to have as a very first time guest today, Stephen Warhurst. He is the author of Pigo the Free, A Cautionary Tale, which is an illustrated book for children. And we are going to be addressing the major theme, storytelling for children that provokes deep biblical thought. Fluff should never be enough, not even for kids. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Stephen Warhurst.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I'm going to give our email address out right away for those of our listeners that may want to ask questions of their own. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, before we go into your book, Pigo the Free, and also Storytelling for Children that Provokes Deep Biblical Thought, what we typically do on this program when we have a first-time guest is we get a summary of their salvation testimony, giving an idea of what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Yes, I would love to tell the story. It's funny how you can tell your testimony in about a dozen different ways, because God was working in so many different ways to draw me to himself through different experiences with different people, seemingly unconnected, but they were actually all orchestrated by Lord Jesus to draw me to himself. So I grew up in a home where we would have said we were Christians and believed we were Christians. We never attended church. We didn't read the Bible. We didn't even pray. But the mindset of our thinking was probably just, well, we're Americans. We're Christians. We know we're not Muslims, and we're not atheists, and we're not Jews, so we must be Christians. That was the setting of the home. We did attend church for about a year when I was in my middle school years, and then I don't remember all the details of why we left. It was a very liberal Methodist church. And then in high school, I got into trouble in lots of ways, and was in a motel room, I think it was in Florida. He had gone off to the beach in Florida, and I stole a Bible out of the motel room. It was one of those Good News New Testaments, and I didn't know if I was supposed to take it or not. They probably didn't care, but I took the Bible and started reading it. Was disturbed by some of the things I read there, and troubled about the way I was living, and didn't go back to it for a while. I went to college at West Georgia College. It's now University of West Georgia. And while I was there, was living the dream of having no parental guidance, oversight, and lots of free time, and thought that that was going to bring me great joy. And it turned out it did not. So at that time, I don't ever remember having met an outspoken Christian my whole life. I'm sure I'd been around Christians, but at the time I'd not really met anybody who was outspoken or, you know, would witness to people, and no one had witnessed to me. But at that time, my junior year in college, it seems like it came out of everywhere. They were coming at me. I remember I was on the beach. This is sort of a goofy story, but I had been misbehaving on the beach and lost my car. I didn't remember where my car was and got separated from my friends. You can imagine why that would be. And I was sitting on a bench hoping, this is before cell phones and things like that, and being able to contact people. I was sitting on a bench watching the cars go by, hoping that my car would go by and my friends would be driving it. And while I was sitting there, this man walked up to me and started talking to me about Christ. I just sat down right next to me, shared the gospel with me, and I eventually did find my car and my friends and return home. But that was just out of the blue, it seemed to me. Returned to school, and the Lord had orchestrated some young men in my dorm to come to my dorm who were having a Bible study, an evangelistic Bible study. And they spotted me carrying a Bible. Now, you may say, well, why were you carrying a Bible? And that's a good question. Why was I carrying a Bible? Because I'm not a Christian. I was taking a class in religion at the college, which was by no means really Christian or sympathetic to Christian. As you know, at State University, the religion class is not going to be sympathetic usually to Christianity. And my project for the class or my paper was going to be on the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I had met the Jehovah's Witnesses, gone down to the Kingdom Hall, and they gave me a New World Translation, and that's what I happened to be carrying around, which is questionable whether that's the Bible or not. But I was carrying it, and the guy spotted me. He says, hey, you read the Bible? I want you to come to our Bible study. I said, sure. And he told me the time and everything, and some guys on the hall, I actually invited them. So here I am, the unbeliever, studying, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, and I invite all the guys on the hall to come to the Bible study. Several came. And so I was already an evangelist and didn't even know it. But in God's kindness, another side issue there. One of the guys I invited was really hostile, and he argued the whole time with the Bible study leader, which made me really uncomfortable since I'd invited him. The Lord ended up converting him later, by the way. But the Spirit was working in our dorm on different young men, and several of us came to Christ through that Bible study and through our own reading, reading through the Gospel of Matthew. The Lord convicted me of sin, and I realized really for the first time that that God's ways were the best ways, and I didn't think that before. I had not ever thought that way. I thought that God's ways were stifling, destructive, bad, and God changed my heart. And so when I read the Sermon on the Mount, I remember thinking that if people would live as Jesus commands here, it would be a wonderful world. And that's one way to tell my testimony. There are other ways to do, because like I said, there were lots of people speaking to me from different places and different times, but that's the one version of how the Lord drew me to himself. And I immediately got involved in the campus ministry, which these men were working with, and then went to Presbyterian church in town. It was a church plant. It was not yet established. There was a PCA church plant in town, so I started attending there. And that's where it all began.
Now, how did you start to have an interest in writing, and perhaps even specifically writing for children?
Well, that came much later. I went to seminary after that. I wasn't planning to be a pastor, but I knew I needed to study the Bible. I had a lot to figure out, because when the pastor at the church that I attended started talking about Paul, I didn't know who he was talking about and things like that. So I said, I need to go study the Bible. And so I saw an advertisement in a magazine for Reformed Theological Seminary, and R.C. Sproul was teaching there at the time, and I had just been given one of his books, which I loved, and I said, well, I'll go study with him. And so I went to RTS in Orlando. After that, I taught for years in Christian schools, Christian classical schools.
I have visited the campus there.
Oh, at RTS?
Yeah, I went to an event that my friend Dr. James R. White was involved in. He was having a dialogue with a Muslim.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yes. There are several Muslims in Orlando. They have a mosque there that's pretty active. And yeah. So from there, I met my wife, and we went, like I said, started teaching Christian classical schools. So I've been in education with young people for a long time. And we have 8 children ourselves, and so I started telling them stories, and I've been telling them stories for, my oldest is 27 now, and the youngest is 6. So that's where the desire to tell stories came from. It goes back to a book I read, actually, too, long ago, about storytelling. And I thought, yeah, this is a great way to communicate to children, to teach them important things. The story seems to keep the attention of the child and then get them thinking. Of course, Jesus used stories all the time to communicate the truth to people. So that's how I got interested in storytelling, and I started teaching a class to the homeschoolers, local homeschool community, called Speech, Debate, and Storytelling. And I wanted to add that dimension of storytelling to the speech and debate class. It used to just be speech and debate, and I said, you know, storytelling's somewhat of a lost art. Maybe we can revive it. And that's how I got started in storytelling.
Well, you've obviously developed an excellent gift for it, because I know Joel Beakey, the founder of Reformation Heritage Books, is a very fussy man, and he would not have brought your book into print if he did not think it was excellent. And I'm speaking of your book for children that we are going to discuss in part today, Pygo the Free, A Cautionary Tale. And why don't you tell us, first of all, who is or what is Pygo?
Yes, Pygo is a regal angelfish. They're on the Barrier Reef down off the coast of Australia, and he is the main character in the book. There's a lot of me in Pygo, or my history in Pygo, too. As a character, even though he's a fish and I'm a human. We have similar backgrounds in many ways. So,
and how did you come up with the name Pygo?
Well, that goes back to his scientific name. The scientific name for the regal angelfish is Pygoplites diacanthus. And that's the regal angelfish's name. So I just took the first 4 letters, Pygo, and made it his name. And then I found out later in Greek that Pygo means rump or posterior. So I thought that was pretty clever and included that in my thinking. But that was later when I found that out.
Well, before you go any further into a description of the book, I'm going to read a an endorsement from somebody that I've loved to interview on this program, George Grant, pastor of Parish Presbyterian Church in Franklin, Tennessee, and author of quite a number of books himself. And George says, it is said that if you want someone to know something, tell them. If you want them to understand something, tell them again. But if you want someone to love something, tell them a story. That is precisely what Stephen Warhurst and April Reese have done in this delightful book. They've told a wonderful story that prompts us to love what is right and good and true, while simultaneously helping us to know and understand both the beauty of God's created order and the dangers inherent in violating His gracious commands. And if George Grant thinks so highly of this book, I am going to presume that it is excellent, because I love George Grant and his writings as well. So tell us more about the story of this angelfish named Pygo.
Well, I don't want to spoil it too much, but...
Oh, yes, Pygo, we don't want you to give away the end or anything.
It's a different kind of book, really. Lots of children's books are entertaining, and some of them are sort of, you don't really have a message coming through. It's you know, Good Night Moon, okay? Those kinds of stories are fun to read to little kids, but there's no message. And I wanted to have a book that was meaningful, full of meaning, and even different layers of meaning. I wanted it to have meaning for the little kid who can get the basic story and get the basic lesson of that's being communicated, and I also wanted it to be for the parents, so that there's something deeper that would maybe prompt parents to think about these issues. And I wanted to have things hidden in the book too that are that you would discover, and when you discover, it's just fun to discover things in a book. And you say, oh, I think I see what he's up to there, what the author is trying to do. Not tell people so much, but that they discover things. So at the end, I do tell a lot of the things that are hidden in the book, the different layers of meaning for those who didn't see them. But there's other stuff, too, that is not spoken of, that people will get, just if depending on your experience or the books you've read or your knowledge of Darwin and his life, things like that, and the knowledge of the scriptures, and you'll see that. So I want it to be a book full of meaning with different layers, and to be thought-provoking for parents, and then also provide an opportunity for parents to lead their children to Christ through the book. That they would, and lead their children to love his ways, and as a warning too, it's a cautionary tale. This cautionary tales, you just don't run across them very much anymore. It used to be pretty common to have cautionary tales. Some of them are funny and humorous, you know, like the, can't remember the exact tale, but it was about the little girl who went around slamming doors and then eventually died. You know, of course, it's the tale is to teach kids to quit slamming the door, but there's not a lot of cautionary tales. This is a more serious cautionary tale, but also has humor in it, too. And you remember the question? I think I might have gotten off track, but...
well, I think that you probably answered it correctly, because I don't remember the question either. And I don't remember thinking to myself, he's not answering my question. But you've also, I don't know how long you've known the artist, April Reese, or Reese?
Yeah. Reese, April Reese.
She is quite a talented artist, really beautifully illustrated book.
Yes, she did an excellent job. Very gifted young lady.
And
student, actually, that came to, and her brothers and sisters were in some of my classes that I teach here at the church, and I'd seen some of her work and was really impressed, and she just did an excellent job on this.
Yes, you did. And I'm glad that you seem to be in step with Dr. Beeke, Dr. Joel Beeke, who happens to be a member of the Heritage Netherlands Reformed Church denomination. And although he is a paedo-baptist, like Presbyterians, you mentioned the PCA before, although he is a paedo-baptist, he does not believe that we should presume upon the salvation of our children, and that our children, even the children of Christian parents, should be viewed as a mission field. And there is a disagreement amongst our paedo-baptist brethren on that issue. So I'm glad that this book is intended for parents to lead their children to Christ. Because I've even heard at occasion some of my Presbyterian brothers say things like, well, I don't need to lead my children to Christ, they're already in Christ, that kind of thing. But it's good to hear, because as a Reformed Baptist, I think it's a very important thing to view children as a mission field. And this looks like a book that would be an excellent vehicle to be used in that way. So tell us about some of the feedback that you've already gotten for the book.
Well, I had very positive feedback from the folks. I don't know if the people who don't like it would come and tell me, but so far it's been really positive. I got a note from a man who said that he got the book and he'd already had to read it three times to his child, and now it's the bedtime. It's the preferred bedtime reading every night for the moment. So I was thankful for that, and wants to read Pygo, and so that's encouraging to hear stories like that. There is an interesting response to it that it shocks people. The book shocks people, especially the ending. That's why I can't tell the ending. But they're not used to children's stories doing this, what this book does. It's unusual, especially, I think, for modern. Maybe it might not have been unusual in the 1800s or 1700s, or it might have fit in with some of the older tales. But modern tales don't do what this book does, I don't think. So that's caught some adults off guard, and they didn't know exactly what to think, I believe. One person said, this is for older children. It must be for older children. And I would put it probably in the ages, 5 to 12 could profit from it. A 12-year-old would seem childish probably to some 12-year-olds, but the story is not. The story is something that would be good for a 12-year-old. And some people think, well, that's not really fit for young children because of the nature of the tale, but I think that little kids can get it. And sometimes we underestimate, and our kids need to hear what this book is about for sure. And it's good to, I think, get them early thinking in this way and discussing these things. I have a 5-year-old, and he sat down, he had heard the story several times before it was published, but when we sat down and actually got the real book in our hands and sat down and read it, he was very attentive, and I asked him some questions about it, and we discussed it afterwards, and he's understanding it. His little brain was gone, and that's part of the purpose behind the book, is to get people thinking. But it is an unusual book. It's not, I don't think it's, you find books like this very often.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. But don't go away. We'll be right back with Stephen Warhurst and more of our discussion on storytelling for children right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformed.li.net. That's hopereformed, www.iconally.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we are returning to our discussion with Stephen Warhurst. And Stephen is the author of Pygo the Free, A Cautionary Tale. And our main theme today is storytelling for children that provokes deep biblical thought. Fluff should never be enough, not even for kids. If you have a question for us, we would love to hear from you at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. A BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, has a question for you. BB asks, if a child were to read this book along with his parents, would there be a need for words to be defined and perhaps ways that the child's mind would be stretched rather than him just reading very simple words that he would already know the meaning of?
Right. The book is, it depends on the age of the child, I guess, and whether or not they'll understand all the words. It's somewhat designed to be read to children, but a child definitely could read it. I just think there would be more advantage for it to be read to them. Most of the words are not hard to understand. That's pretty easy language. The subtleties of it probably would not be gotten by a child unless a parent helped them to see those things. But no, just looking through it, I don't think that there's really hard words in there for maybe a third grader, fourth grader to read. They could read almost everything in there and understand it. Might have to find a few things, but they're not really important to the story. Like they might not know what algae is or the Galapagos Islands. They would get the idea probably it's an island, but may not know exactly where it is. Although there is a map. There is a map on there. So, no, I think most elementary school children could read this and understand it.
Well, thank you, BB, and if you give us your full mailing address, you will get in the mail a free copy of Pygo, the Free, A Cautionary Tale, which was published by our friends at Reformation Heritage Books. And we have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, I heard you early on in the interview mention Darwin. I'm assuming that this book includes some kind of apologetic for children that would refute Darwinian evolution in some way.
Yes. That is definitely a theme, to show the silliness of Darwinism is displayed. And I think Darwin's theory is somewhat silly. People were desperate, I believe, at the time to find some way to get away from the creation story, and they thought they found a pretty outlandish tale in Charles Darwin and his heirs of the evolutionary theory, Darwinism. And I think the story exposes in a really simple way to children that's really absurd that this kind of thing would happen. What the evolutionary scientists tell us happened over millions, billions of years is really somewhat absurd. It takes more faith to believe in Darwin's theory than to believe in the creation story of Genesis 1, for sure. And I think that it comes across pretty clearly in the book at a simple level for elementary school children to see.
Yeah, and they cannot hear too early refutations of that because children are hearing Darwinian evolution in some perhaps unlikely places that are intended for children in the media because even in the nature programs for children, you very often hear about the millions of years that it has taken for a certain animal to evolve into another kind of animal, etc. And you'll hear things about our ancestors, the chimpanzees, and all that kind of thing. Even in programming for little children and books for children that are secular for the most part. Although before my rebirth in Christ in the mid-80s, I was raised Roman Catholic, and I was in Catholic grammar school in the late 60s up until the mid-70s, and we were taught in our Catholic parochial school in our science class Darwinian evolution. We were told that the stories in the Old Testament were fairy tales and so on. Now, that was in the science class. I'm sure that the nuns did not agree, some of the older nuns especially, did not agree with that. But we were definitely being fed Darwinian evolution even as very young children in Catholic school.
Yeah, for sure. If you go to the library and you pick up almost any book for a kid, it's probably the assumption. It's more assumed than proven. Everybody just assumes it's true and they go with it. And it's even hard to find proofs for Darwinism. It's just, you're dumb if you don't believe it is sort of their best argument that they have.
Right.
But yeah, but when you start to look at Darwin's theory and start to think about it, like Pigo becomes a Darwinian for a time, you realize, well, this is really absurd.
Huh. The angelfish was Darwinian, huh?
For a time.
We have, by the way, CJ, you've also won a free copy of this book that we have been mentioning, Pigo the Free, A Cautionary Tale. And so make sure we have your full mailing address in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. We've got a question from RJ in White Plains, New York, who asks, is this book an allegory, just like Pilgrim's Progress, except for a more exclusively younger audience?
Good question. Is it an allegory? I'm not sure it would be an allegory where, you know, there are certain things representing other things. There are definitely undercurrents and ideas, but it's not an allegory probably in the same sense Pilgrim's Progress is. There are... Pigo is supposed to represent people, of course. He's an angelfish, but his thinking is obviously human, and he's thinking like a certain human way of thinking that we meet commonly in the world. And that's a good question. I wouldn't consider it an allegory, necessarily. You know, like an allegory usually has this, like each part of it would have a meaning of a, that represents Christ, that represents the cross, or that represents something else. I'd say no, it's more of a story with allusions to things. It does have allusions to things that are broader than the tale itself. And there is one part of the story that is somewhat allegorical, and might qualify for that, and that's when Pigo meets a beagle.
A beagle like the dog, or a beetle like the insect?
A beagle like the dog. Pigo meets a beagle that is swimming, and he hops on the beagle's back, and the beagle takes him to the Galapagos Islands. Now, there's some allegory in that. If you know anything about Darwin, that his boat that he took to the Galapagos Islands was called the Beagle.
I did not remember that. That's interesting.
It's the HMS Beagle. Of course, in the story, Pigo is on the back of a dog, which is, you have to, it's somewhat humorous, the whole part. And there's other things. He meets a fish named Charlie. Tuna fish, of course.
Is Starkist suing you right now?
I don't know. I hope not. But he meets the fish Charlie, but Charlie is also teaching him Darwinism, which you can see the connection there to Charles Darwin. So Charles is his teacher. So there's two allusions there. You have the tuna, who's named Charles, and who represents somewhat Darwin.
So would you say that Darwinian evolution plays a major theme in this book?
I think so, yes. Yeah. It's an apologetic against it on a children's level. Just like I said, I believe the theory is absurd. third, and it's a desperate attempt to find some way to explain how we got here, but it's pretty desperate. And so that's definitely a theme. I'd say yes, big theme. It's, if you're familiar with the idea of the reductio ad absurdum, reducing something to its absurdity, showing how it leads to absurdity, I think that's part of my goal in the book, is to take Darwinianism and reduce it to absurdity for a child to be able to see.
Is there any point in the book where Paigo meets Nemo from Finding Nemo and evangelizes Nemo?
No, but maybe that'll be the part two. I don't know.
And perhaps maybe even gets Ellen DeGeneres saved at the same time.
That'd be great.
By the way, I don't think I told RJ yet. RJ in White Plains, if I haven't told you already, you've also won a free copy of Paigo the Free. I hope you have children in your life, either your own, or perhaps you have grandchildren, or nephews and nieces. But please give us your full mailing address, and we'll have that shipped out to you by our friends at CVBBS, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They'll ship that out to you at no charge to you or to us. And we also want to thank, again, Reformation Heritage Books for their generosity in providing us with some of the copies of this book, Paigo the Free, A Cautionary Tale. We're going to our midway break right now. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they have to fulfill FCC requirements and localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. They air their own public service announcements and other things local to that area during the midway break, and we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers, so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. Because keep in mind, the more often you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they're going to remain our advertisers, which means the more likely we're going to be able to remain on the air, because we depend upon the advertising dollars that our sponsors provide. So please try to patronize them as much as possible, and to further ensure you will do that, try to write down as much of the information as you can that they provide in their ads. Also, send in questions for our guest today, Stephen Warhurst. And this would be on storytelling for children as the broader theme. Storytelling for children that provokes deep biblical thought. And that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And always remember to give us your first name, city, and state, and country of residence. And we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors, so don't go away.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed,
the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please, with all the reasons to buy gifts coming up, like Father's Day, like graduation day, back-to-school gifts, when you're sending off your children off to college, perhaps there's a lot of birthdays coming up, wedding anniversaries, even bereavement gifts for those of you who have lost loved ones or have friends that have lost loved ones, I should say, or family members and so on. Well, please make your first stop for gift giving solid-ground-books.com. That's the website for Solid Ground Christian Books. And you will find a treasure trove of books that you can give as gifts for any occasion. And I would urge you not only to buy your Christian friends and loved ones books from Solid Ground Christian Books, but even your lost friends and relatives, because you may be used of God to lead some of them to Christ through these gifts. Solid Ground Christian Books is a very key primary sponsor of this program. We depend upon them to exist, and barring a miracle from God, if they were to withdraw their sponsorship, we would likely not remain on the air. So please, purchase as many books as you can, as frequently as you can, from solid-ground-books.com, and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, before we return to our discussion today with our guest, Stephen Warhurst, we do have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, please mark your calendars for a week from tomorrow. That's June the 19th, Friday, June the 19th. We have, for the very first time ever on this program, Oz Guinness, and I'm looking forward to that with bated breath. Oz Guinness, I've made a number of attempts throughout the years to have him on the program, and this was my first successful attempt, so I'm thrilled that he is coming on to discuss his book, Fool's Talk, Recovering the Art of Christian Persuasion. He's on for the first hour to do that, and he's going to be followed by a frequent guest on this program, Gary DeMar, founder of American Vision. He is going to be addressing a book that he has just brought into print, Greg L. Bonson's book, Against All Opposition, Defending the Christian Worldview. Greg L. Bonson was a hero and mentor of Gary's, still is, even though Greg is in glory with Christ. And I believe that you will find this a very edifying and important program. So that's Oz Guinness and Gary DeMar, Friday, June 19th, 4 to 6 p.m. here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And folks, another reminder to you, we, during this coronavirus pandemic and the hysteria that is connected to it, we've lost, and I'm hoping it's just temporary, but we've lost two of our largest sponsors. So their businesses were hit very hard during the pandemic, so they had to at least temporarily put a hold on any further donations and further financial support. So I'm asking you, please help us make up for that loss by going to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. Or if you prefer snail mail, you could send in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us, and you don't need to believe identically with me to advertise, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe here. And so if you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And try to remember, folks, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you're a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that, especially during this coronavirus pandemic, because many churches have been hit very hard financially during this pandemic, and your church might be one of them. So please don't siphon money away from them to give to us. Please don't put your family in financial jeopardy if you're having a hard time to make ends meet to give to us. Those two things are commands of Scripture, to provide for your church and your family. Obviously, providing for this radio show is not a command of Scripture, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and maybe you have a lot of extra money because you haven't been going lately because of the quarantining that's been going on globally, you haven't been going to your favorite sporting events or concerts, or you haven't been going out fine dining, you haven't been going out to theatrical performances or the movies or Bible conference, well, can you use some of that money to help us remain on the air? Remember to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I thank all of you who have been so generous and benevolent and have helped us to remain on the air as long as we have through this pandemic, in spite of that financial loss, through your own donations, and I cannot thank God enough for you. Also remember, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you need some help finding one, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've helped many people in this audience find churches near them in all parts of the planet Earth, where they have joined or where they have visited while on vacation or where they have recommended them to others who are not aware of biblically sound churches near them. So if you need help finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line, and we would love to help you find a church, God willing. Well, we're now back to our discussion on storytelling for children that provokes deep biblical thought. Fluff should never be enough, not even for kids, with our guest Stephen Warhurst, author of Pygo the Free, A Cautionary Tale, a child's book or a children's book published by Reformation Heritage Books. And we do have Mary in Cork, Ireland, who has a question for you. She asks, I wonder if it is appropriate to ever frighten children through children's literature. I know that the Bible itself can be very frightening in many places, so I assume, as long as it's done with tact and taste, that it would be appropriate.
Yeah, that's interesting, to frighten children. that scares kids in that way or makes them afraid of things that aren't real, like ghosts or... I don't think that would be appropriate to frighten children with and make them fear things that they shouldn't fear. But she's right. The Bible definitely says things that should be frightening to us if they apply to us. They wouldn't be frightening to us if they don't apply to us. But if the Bible has threats, has promises, has threats, and if the threat applies to us, then we definitely should be afraid. So I think it's appropriate, but the story isn't frightening in that sense. It's sobering at the end. It has comical parts throughout, but it's sobering that for those who do depart from Christ, there's a great danger to those who are apart from Christ, those who reject Him. And so it has a sobering message, too. So I don't know if it's frightening, but sobering and serious at points. I think that's part of good stories, though. They have funny parts, and they get you to enjoy the way they're written, and then also they can also be sobering to parents and children alike. That's an interesting question. That's good.
Well, thank you, Mary, and we don't mail books overseas, or should I say Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service doesn't, because the cost would be astronomical if they were sending out books to all of our overseas listeners that wrote in. But we know that you have in mind a person here in the United States to receive this book, so we're going to get it to that person. That's Pygo the Free, A Cautionary Tale. Thank you very much for your question today. I'm curious, who are some of your favorite authors that perhaps specifically have an audience for children?
Right. I think C.S. Lewis would be one, and Chronicles of Narnia would be a definite. One thing I loved about his stories is there was more to it than just the surface tale. There was the story itself, and then there was underlying meanings and some allegory, too. And so I always appreciated those stories. We have John Bunyan. I don't know if people consider John Bunyan a children's storyteller, but The Pilgrim's Progress is filled with allegory that teaches important principles. There was a book that my kids grew up on called The Dangerous Journey. It's a little version of Pilgrim's Progress. It's illustrated. It just has snippets from Pilgrim's Progress with good pictures, and my kids have loved that story. And it's got different scenes, you know, giant despair, and they got to know the different characters in Pilgrim's Progress, Faithful. And the Vanity Fair, different little snippets. It's really well done. So I think Bunyan is definitely good for that. The book itself is good for adults too, of course. But kids can get a lot out of Bunyan. The other children's authors who've been influential in this way. For short books like this, this is, you know, a picture book. I can't really think of many out there, honestly. There are lots of them, but they don't do with this. They're different, and they have different strengths. The book does rhyme, and that's something kids like, maybe adults too. This adult does. So... that's the beginning of those two, and I'm having trouble thinking of others right now. But
I could recommend one myself to our listeners. Might be introducing you to a book as well. Living with God, I Can Know God, by Nancy Gorell. and the illustrator is Mary Ann Page Smith. Nancy Gorell is an Orthodox Presbyterian wife of an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor in Westminster, California, Pastor B.J. Gorell. And this is...
How do you spell Gorell? Do you know?
G-O-R-R-E-L-L. And Nancy was such a godsend to me a number of years ago when my nephew's wife up in Schenectady, New York, my nephew's wife was dying of brain cancer, and she, as far as I knew, was not saved. And Nancy really reached out to her and took her shopping quite often, went out to dinner with her, went out to lunch and breakfast with her, to, you know, just did the kinds of things that women like doing with other women. And she evangelized my nephew's wife, and not only evangelized, but also demonstrated the love of Christ to her. And I will never be able to thank her enough for being such a good friend to her those last months of her life. So, but very talented woman. And let's see, we have another listener with a question. We have John in Bangor, Maine. And John asks, I don't know if anybody asked this question before, but is there a lot of biblical content and doctrine referred to in your book? I know it's for children, but how much of the theology and doctrine of the Bible would you say occupies space in this book?
Right. There are several things from the Bible, for sure. Theme verses. There are four verses in the introduction, or two verses at the beginning of the book, and then there are two verses at the end of the book that are somewhat explanatory of the themes in the story. The first verse at the beginning is James 1:25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this one will be blessed in what he does. And giving the idea that in obedience to God's good law, we are blessed, that God blesses obedience as we learn to love and delight in his law. And that's one of the themes, is that God's law is good. Problem is, our sinful hearts, they get twisted. But God's ways are the best ways. If we're going to have a good life, if we want things to go well for us, then we need to walk in his commandments by the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, that's something that the Spirit does in the heart of any of us. We don't like God's law. We don't like his ways until the Spirit of God gives us an affection for it. So that's one of the themes to the book. The idea that sin enslaves, sin does not set us free. We think that sin, when we sin, that somehow we're set free. And, oh, good, I get to sin, and that gives us a sense of liberation. That's actually a deception. So there's this idea in the story that sin enslaves, that when we commit sin, we become slaves to sin, and that true freedom is found actually in the Lord Jesus, that if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And so that's one of the doctrinal themes in the book, the freedom in Christ, to develop what David speaks about frequently, how he loved God's law and God's ways. One of the things that we get deceived by is we look longingly at those who are sinning against God as though they somehow have it good. Like, oh, I wish I could go do that. And that is a deadly way of thinking. We may say to ourselves as Christians, oh, I would never do what they're doing because I know it's bad, but there's a desire in our heart to do it, and that's deadly to all of us. We have to instead of envying the wicked, as David tells us not to do, Psalms, we're supposed to pity them. we need to see that sin leads to death, and that all the pretty things that are attached to it that look attractive are deceptions. So another major theme is that there's a way that seems right to a man. He's like, oh boy, this is going to bring me satisfaction, this is going to bring me life, but its end is the way of death. And that's Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And then also, it emphasizes a part of the gospel that's often lost. The book emphasizes the part of the gospel that people downplay, and that's the fact that the wages of sin is death. In some presentations of the gospel, and broader circles, they downplay the fact that you're a sinner, dead in your trespasses and sin, and doomed. And then people are asking the question, well, why do I need Jesus? Well, you don't know you need Jesus until you realize that you are dead in your trespasses and sin, and doomed forever if you don't have the Lord Jesus. So that's another doctrinal theme. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the book emphasizes that first part about the wages of sin is death, and the parent is left to point their children to the only solution for that. And so that's how a parent could present the gospel to their child as they read it. You see, this is where, you know, this is where sin leads, and this is where the state of all of us, we're dead apart from Christ. Our sins have ruined us. Our sins bring us to destruction. But Christ sets us free. His ways are the best ways. To try to teach children to delight in the ways of God. So those are some of the doctrinal themes. They're definitely in there. And it's all in a story and form.
Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania wants to know, is this your first book? And also, do you intend to have sequels featuring Pygo?
Well, this is the first book, yes, that's been published. And sequels, that's a really good question. We are looking at that and thinking about that. So, yeah, I don't want to say too much about that, but possibly. And I definitely would like to do a couple more. I've got some ideas that, again, working on different levels that I've been speaking to Reformation Heritage about. So maybe so. I hope so.
Great. Well, by the way, our last two listeners, both of you, I think I forgot to tell you, you've each won as well a free copy of Pygo the Free, A Cautionary Tale by our guest Stephen Warhurst. We are now going to our final station break. It is much more brief than the others. If you intend to join us on the air with a question, please try to do so very soon because we're rapidly running out of time. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Stephen Warhurst right after these messages from our sponsors.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective.
Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you can also order by phone at cvbbs.com by calling 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, and only call that number Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the only days and times that that phone line is manned, and there is no voicemail. So please make sure you call Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
And also, always make sure you tell them that you heard about CVBBS.com from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, we are running out of time, so please do it as quickly as possible. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. I was wondering also if you as a child yourself began doodling and writing things that were a child's version of a child's book.
Right. No, not as a child. I didn't really start reading books until after I became a Christian. Interestingly, as an unbeliever, we had books in the home and stuff, and I was assigned books in school. But as far as picking up a book and reading it, it wasn't something that I did at all. I don't remember reading much as a child. But again, in God's providence, there was an interesting thing that happened. As a person who never read as a teenager in high school, somehow, I haven't the foggiest idea how, I got a hold of C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy and read the first book in the Space Trilogy. And that's just sort of weird to me. I don't know even how that happened, Out of the Silent Planet. And so other than that book, I didn't read many books, and in college I didn't read really at all either. You may not know this, but you can't actually get through a state university without reading. and make okay grades too.
I'm pretty sure I did that. I was not a believer in my college years either.
And so after I became a Christian, I started reading the Bible first, and then from there started reading other books and became a voracious reader. I love to read now, and that's a big part of my life, my family's life, and my children as well. So, but as a child, no, I didn't read.
We have, let's see, I was just looking at the question, and it disappeared from my screen. Where is it? Oh, Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, said, I already heard you before give a couple of recommendations for Christian books on children, but are there any books that you know of that would be either acceptable or even beneficial for children that are not written by Christians?
Right. Well, I wish I was at home right now because we have shelves of children's books. There is, but I'm going to have trouble remembering titles. There were these books that were done a while back that were of classics, like a children's version of different classics, like Robinson Crusoe, which actually, Robinson Crusoe has many Christian themes, actually. He's actually converted in the story while he's on the island. By reading the Bible, but they have these paintings in there as well. And if I was at my home in that library, I could look at those. I just thought of a book that my kids like, but they're not actually by this one's by R.C. Sproul. He has children's books, several children's books. R.C.
Oh yeah, has. Yeah, I have seen those,
and they're very good, and they're also books that are meaningful. And that they have messages, theological messages. So I definitely recommend those. And that The Dangerous Journey, which is that version of Pilgrim's Progress. But those books, I wish I had the titles. I'm trying to think of some other children's books.
Well, while you're thinking, I'll give our email address one more time, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Well,
thanks for the time, but it didn't help.
Well, that's fine. That's fine.
Oh, I remember the authors who illustrated it. Now was N.C. Wyeth. N.C. Wyeth, W-Y-E-T-H, and they're little short versions of classics. Now there is one that my kids like to read, and it's not a Christian book, but it's a classic story. It's on the Odyssey, and it's a children's version of Homer's Odyssey. If I was home, I could grab it and get you the title of it. It has excellent illustrations. But there's some children's versions of, like, the Aeneid, too. And they have great illustrations. And those stories, of course, are pagan, but they're excellent stories. And they're thought-provoking stories. They have some substance to them, and it's shortened form. So if they're looking for, you know, books not by Christians, my kids have profited by those and prepared them when we read, in their later years, when we read the Iliad and the Odyssey and the Aeneid, to be ready for that. One thing about those books is it gives them an introduction to that classical literature.
Right.
I don't think, there are definitely themes in the Odyssey that are not Christian at all, pretty much pagan books. But there's also parts of the story that are good to provoke discussion. What should Odysseus have done that? What should we think of that? Different, you know, that classical literature has at least that substance. It makes kids think, and you can interact with them. It's not really great for them to read alone, and generally, you know, kids in Christian homes are not going to be seduced by Athena, or, you know, that's not a real temptation to most modern children to believe in Athena or Zeus. So those can be helpful books.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I am having a dispute with my Christian friends over some of the literature that I believe is acceptable for children. They say we should never allow our children to read books or watch movies or videos, etc., that involve wizards and warlocks and magic, things like the Wizard of Oz and other things, because all of that is from the occult. What do you think about using things like that in children's literature, as long as it's obviously a tamer version that is not overtly satanic?
Wow. Well, depends how the magic is an interesting discussion in tales or children's works or in any work of literature. It depends on how the magic is portrayed. If the magic is portrayed in a way that it would entice children to say, oh, I want to have that magical power, or even the idea of the Force. I remember as a kid and growing up in basically a secular home and wanting to have the Force after Star Wars. And I was hoping, I wonder if I could turn off my lights if I had the power of the Force and I wouldn't have to get out of bed. You know, those kinds of... So sometimes the way things are portrayed can be seductive to children. At other times, magic and things like that can be portrayed in a way that teaches you not to mess with magic. That's one of the interesting things about Lewis. He's sometimes criticized for having witches, and also Tolkien as well. In his works, he's often criticized for, a wizard and things like that. But one thing they did, which you have to pay real close attention to note this, is the way they portrayed it is whenever a human being used magic, it always resulted in bad, because they were not to use magic. The humans in their stories weren't to use magic. If you think of Lucy in, it might be the Dawn Treader, I can't remember which one of the Lewis books, she messes with magic and it has very bad results. But in their stories, in their little world they create, the only people who are allowed to use powers are actually not human. They're in some different form, like in Tolkien, Gandalf's not human. He's something more than that. And the elves are not human. And so I think there's a way to use magic that's actually very thoughtful and helpful. But you sometimes have to pay attention that they're not using it. Two of the more subtle guys are Tolkien and Lewis in the way they use magic. But I also think that in other ways it can be very seductive. It may not be as well used in the Harry Potter tales because kids may come away thinking, oh, I wish I had magical power so I could take vengeance on all my enemies, you know, or the people who are mean to me. And I don't think it's used thoughtfully in those tales as it is by better authors. So I wouldn't say magic itself in the story is wrong. You do have witches in the Bible. You have the witch of Endor portrayed as doing, you know, she's necromancing. And, of course, it's a negative thing. It's destructive. So having bad witches would not be a bad thing. But also in the fairy tales or fictional stories, having people who are have powers is not necessarily wrong. I don't. That's my view on that. And I'd love to talk more about that. That's a pretty complex subject.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes, a little less than 3 minutes, for you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this subject.
Well, I hope that the book Pygo helps parents lead their children to the Lord Jesus. I had dedicated the book to my three youngest children, and Owen, Kara, and Knox, with the desire that they would read it and learn to love God's law of liberty, love that perfect law of liberty that James speaks of, and to delight in God's way. So that's what I would hope, that people who would read the book, children would read the book, that the Lord would give them a love for his law, for his ways, for his that way of life that he's lined out for us in that, in his word. So that would probably be my great desire for the book.
Great. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners remember that you can find out more about Pygo the Free at heritagebooks.org. Heritagebooks.org, that's the website of Reformation Heritage Books. I would ask of you to please, however, order it from our sponsors, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. cvbbs.com. And of course, Reformation Heritage Books is not going to mind you doing that. They still have to get paid for the books, so that's a win-win situation. And do you have any other kind of contact information or other websites or anything that you'd like to share for our audience?
Well, people are welcome to contact me. Would it be appropriate to give my email address?
Oh, of course.
Yes, if somebody wanted to talk to me about the book or had questions or thoughts, my email is reforming, R-E-F-O-R-M-I-N-G, reforming at yahoo.com. And I'd be glad to talk to folks about the book or other things as well.
That's reforming at yahoo.com.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. It's been fascinating speaking with you today, Stephen. And I also want to remind our listeners, don't forget, we are on every day, Monday through Friday, but I just wanted to particularly highlight my first ever interview coming up with Oz Guinness on the 19th of June. That's Friday, June 19th. He is on for the first hour of that Friday program, and he's going to be discussing his book, Fool's Talk, Recovering the Art of Christian Persuasion. And then the second hour, Gary DeMar returns to our show, and he's going to be discussing a book that he has brought into print, Greg L. Bonson's book, Against All Opposition, Defending the Christian Worldview. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.